Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go. Okay, ladies, first of all, this podcast is for the women only. Now, if you have a penis, stop right now. This is not for you. Be a gentleman and don't listen. Second thing is, clearly, I'm fucking sick again. God damn it. Anyway, but that's actually good because, so I had some fun encounters planned for this week, but clearly that's not happening. I feel about the way that I sound, so, which is not great. Or maybe I sound like a man, so if I feel like a man, I don't know. That doesn't bode well when you're going to have encounters with men. But what I wanted to do was have just a podcast just for the women, because I get so many comments, questions, eyebrow raises, whatever you want to call it, and shout outs from the females. I love it. I really, really love it. And, but I do get a lot of questions about what I'm doing, how I do it, and how to manage this as a woman. So that's really what this is all about. It's not about the guys or, you know, being something that really both would listen to. It's really just directed towards the women because I get, like I said, just a lot of questions from the females about, I guess it's predominantly about how I'm able to do this as a female, be, I like to say, prolific, because I'm not promiscuous. It's not like I just fuck any guy on the street. There's a process to it, you know, and I have to genuinely be interested in some guy. Like, I have to like them on some level. If I don't like you and I'm not sexually attracted to you, it's just not going to happen. I don't really care because I don't need to fuck you. I can, believe me, I could swing my purse and hit some guy that's going to want to fuck me. So, and I'm not trying to, and when I say that, I just want to say to the women, I'm not trying to be, what do you want to call it? I'm not trying to be vain about that. And so this is why this call is for the women, because I'll tell you what, ladies, tell the truth. Tell the truth and shame the devil right now. You, at some point in your life, I don't know when it was, you realized the power of your sexuality. And for me, that came in pretty early. I mean, it came in high school, when I hit puberty. I started to realize that men responded to the way I looked. And at that point in my life, that was a power trip. You know what I mean? I really like, so I'm, this is why this is just for the ladies. I'm getting into it. Like, I'm going way back. I'm being honest about it. Cause I think it's important for women to really kind of go back and realize, like, when was it that you first knew that guys wanted you? And there's something that's very powerful about that, and how you choose to handle that. That's a different story, right? Everybody's going to handle it differently. But so for me, when I was in high school, all of a sudden, I started to have what I call sex appeal. And it was interesting because I had a good group of girlfriends. A lot of those girlfriends, I love, like, I went to an all-girls Catholic high school. I wouldn't trade that for a fucking second. We were so close, and the camaraderie in it is amazing. I'm still great friends with all of those women. I mean, like, they're my best friends. Like, great. We just, you form that bond, and it's something that stays and sticks, which is awesome. But at that point in my life, you know, we all kind of were starting to realize, like, hey, what's going on here? And for me, that manifested itself a little bit differently than it did probably for a lot of my friends. Now, a couple of my friends went the same way I did. And we were like, we were getting attention from older men. And I was getting a lot of attention from older men. And I happened to have a job as a hostess working in a very popular restaurant where all of the political politicians, you know, very powerful guys were coming in. And so, you know, I got to see, like, who the dirtbags were, who the good guys were. And interestingly enough, just kind of, and like, who the powerful businessmen were, because it was kind of the place to see and be seen. And everybody came there. All these guys came there. And the place, the owner was known for hiring attractive women. Obviously, you're going to staff your place with attractive women. And so that kind of really shaped a lot of who I was. And interestingly enough, again, I'm going to be totally honest, one of the things that I remember thinking distinctly in my mind at that time was, these fucking men are so weak. Like, look at them. Like, these, they're older, but they're just, like, dying to have a piece of me. Well, at that, fortunately, at that time, I was all show and no go. So I was very, I had probably a body on me that I shouldn't have had at that age. Disinterested. I was unfazed. That's a good word. Unfazed by the attention. And to me at the time I saw it as, to be honest with you, I saw it as a weakness. I saw it as this is a flaw. There's a chink in their armor. And trust me, if I find a chink in your armor, I'm going to mercifully exploit it. But that, again, is my personality. Now, other girls, so there was probably girls in that camp, right? And then there was, at that time, I think there was other women who were more looking for approval. For me, from my mindset, I was just like, I had it and I had that approval. And also I was in sports. I mean, and I got good grades. I was really had a high self-esteem at that point. And didn't, never felt the need to cave to anybody or anything. Even my first boyfriend, I had my first boyfriend, I think when I was 16, but it took him till I was like about 17 and a half to actually talk me into having sex. Like, I don't know. At that point, it was interesting. I was like, no, you know, I was really kind of hard to get. And so that's interesting because I think that theme of don't want it, don't need it, don't care has really played out for me in my business life, but also in my personal life too. So the point here with this long-winded story is I think women have to understand, like, when your perception about you as a woman, as a female, when that perception started to form, what was the environment you were in? What was your reaction and how did you feel about it? And I think that's, it's just important. Like, I think that's a good place to start when women are sending me questions about like, how do you do this? I'd like to do this. I don't know if this is right for me. Truth is, I don't know if it's right for you either. I mean, I'm on a sexual road trip. I'm doing the stuff I didn't do in my 20s because I was too preoccupied with business, work, and making money. And that was my lover at the time. That was my sex. That was my orgasm. And so now, you know, when I look, as I'm doing this and I'm just looking at a lot more things about myself and how I got, you know, on the continuum, how did I get here at 43 and what brought me to this place and why am I even doing this? Like, why am I now trying to go out and seek, have the adventures that I probably should have or could have had, when I was younger, but chose to not do. And the truth is, I'm glad I didn't because I don't know. I mean, I don't know what those would have been like. It's more fun for me now being like bringing my most mature self to these encounters. So much more fun because I have so many less inhibitions. I mean, trust me, like I don't give a rip. I mean, like literally, do you know how nice it is to just not fucking give a shit? Like I'm just going for it. I don't care. There's nothing holding me back. You know, other than, well, we'll talk about what does hold me back. But as far as I think the normal hangups for women, and usually it's body image when you're younger, I think. You're preoccupied with other, maybe just more, maybe age appropriate, but not sex appropriate things like thinking about the Kardashians and you want to be on your Twitter and you're worried more about your social media than your sex life or how good sex feels. That's right there. That's a priority. And that's a mindset. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, where you are at that point in your life. So I don't have any of that right now. And that's great. But the next thing I think is like an important thing, like that comes up a lot with women is, you know, how do they do this? This is what they're asking me. Like, I think they want to be sexually liberal, and they're not sure how. Like, they read my blog, and they listen to the podcast, and they think, like, this sounds great. And you know what, ladies? It's very fun. But I won't be dishonest about the downsides of it. And because it's when you say yes to something, you say no to something else. That's the truth of the world, the way it is. So, you know, for me, what I would say right now is while I'm saying yes to being open and having different encounters with different people and being non-judgmental and just like letting myself go there, what I'm saying no to is that, you know, a deeper intimacy. And if you're looking for a deeper intimacy, and if that's really what you want right now, the truth is, this will not be for you. And I think, you know, some of the emails that I get from the questions that I get from women is, I think what they're really asking me is, please convince me or how can you talk me out of what I really want? The truth is, you know, I can't talk you out of what I really want, what you really want. And I don't want to talk you out of what you really want. You should absolutely have and go for what you want. And if that's a one-on-one, a true intimate relationship with one person, then you should do that and have that. As for me right now, I know that I'm not saying that's what I don't want at any point, any time. What I'm saying is right now I've made a priority to do some exploring and have some encounters. And the truth is that the deeply intimate, you know, one-on-one is mutually exclusive of my main goal and focus. And so I have to accept that as a trade-off. And accepting that as a trade-off means that there are guys that I do come across and encounter and have where this won't work. You know, I mean, Titanic. The dynamic for him and partly myself too changed. And it made things more complicated. And so, you know, being very honest, I was very, you know, just stayed very honest with him about where I was at and what I was doing. Never dishonest with anybody about that. And there came a little bit of a struggle with him wanting to change my mind about that. And that wasn't going to happen. And when he realized it, you know, things got a little funky, you know, and we had some encounters that I didn't write about that were weird, you know, about him just trying to, I guess, I don't know, for lack of a better word, let's say slut shame me, which, you know, it was really kind of funny because you can't really do that to me. That's not something I'm going to feel badly about. You know, I'm too strong in who I am and too strong in, you know, knowing that I always put my cards on the table with people. I'm not dishonest. I don't respect anybody and where I'm coming from. And even if they get shitty with me, I guarantee you, I really, really do my best to take the high road. So that being said, we just had to part ways. And it's not, it's interesting because that was probably about 6 months ago. And now, you know, there's no way somebody like him is going to, who's a bit of a control freak, who's a bit of a possessive kind of guy for his own reasons. Not saying that he doesn't have his reasons or whatever, but it's not to say anything about him. It's just that what he wanted from me was unrealistic. And I told him that in the beginning, but, you know, I think he wanted to maybe test the waters and see if I really meant what I said. And trust me, I fucking mean what I say. And one of the things I hate the most is when somebody tests the waters with me, because I do mean what I say. And if I have to repeat myself, I get irritated. But, you know, stuff like that's going to happen if you want to date multiple guys at the same time. And if you're not going to be a douchebag about it, and you're going to be open about it. When you're open about it, there's some guys that can't handle that, and they're going to reveal themselves quickly. And my best advice to you is when you see that, believe what you see and end it. Because it's not going to serve you well, and it's going to be a problem for you, because ultimately it interferes with, you know, what you're after. And that's just, you know, that the what you're after is, you know, it's fun. It's fun. It's non-committal, you know, none of the heavy duty stuff, fun. Now, if you want the heavy duty stuff, you can get in a one-on-one relationship. And believe me, you'll have that in spades probably. But, you know, this is something different. So if somebody's not hearing you and they're not believing what you're telling, what you're saying, that's a kind of a red flag and you should pay attention to it. The other thing that I think is important for women who want to do this, because look, we're wired differently. Let's face it. I tend to be more wired like a man, but as I've gotten older, that's kind of lessened. And as I'm doing this, I'm realizing that and I'm like, fuck, I hate that. I hate the fact that I'm really kind of, I'm a woman starting to live more in a woman's world. But, you know, there again, you know, I talk about not wanting to have all that masculine energy too. So, you know, it's a catch-22 for me. But what I think helps women, and I see this with my girlfriends who are just dating, it's that, you know, you have to have at least a pair and a spare. And that means that you're going to have two guys that you can see regularly and then a spare. The guy that, you know, maybe he's in and out of town, whatever, you're in and out of town, your schedules are conflicting, you know, he's not kind of on the regular time frame. Now, I'm not going to say where I'm at with that pair and a spare. It's over the pair and a spare. But the point is that that kind of minimum will help you not as a woman, right? Again, just speaking to women, we're more emotional. We do tend to get attached. Or we have a greater potential to get attached. And if you want to, you know, just have a good time and sort of do this like a guy, then what you need are distractions. If you have a pair and a spare, you're never stuck on like, oh, he didn't text me, or oh, I didn't hear from him. You're not going to give a rip. Like literally, you are not going to give one iota about whether or not you're hearing from that, from somebody or not. You'll be sitting back because you're going to have enough text and phone calls and whatever that is, that attention, let's say, coming at you. You're not going to need or care, you know, about one. You're not going to be focused on one person in particular and singularly, and that will help you just have a good time, and you'll have a lot going on. Your dance card's full. You know, you don't. It's not. You know, it's not going to be a big deal. So that, I think, honestly, that's probably one of the most critical things I can say for women that are. That get attached and singular minded, this will help that you won't feel that way when you have, you know, three guys that have you in their sights. You just won't feel that way. It won't be a big deal. Now, again, I have to say for the record, like, I think this is popular. This is helpful. But if you're, you know, if you're more, maybe if you tend to be more on the masculine side of things, you may not need that. I mean, I don't need it. But it will help you as a woman if you, you know, don't want to be caught up in one guy and you tend to be caught up in one guy. The other thing is, and this is a toughie, ladies, don't, no overnights. You have to be very, very careful about doing overnights. The snuggling, the pillow talk. Let's face it, like that, like we live for that shit, right? Don't let yourself indulge in it. Get the fuck out. When you're done, You're done. Leave. Go home. Trust me. If you sit there and linger, you know, you're getting in the red zone. And again, I'm not saying that I would get in the red zone, but the truth is my general MO is when I'm done, I leave. And it's not that I didn't have a great time with that person. Of course I had a great time. It's not a testament to, you know, anything. It's just personally, like, I like to get home. And have a period at the end of that sentence, if that makes any sense. And so I have a very hard time sleeping next to somebody when I'm on an overnight. And I did it with Titanic. And it was hard to sleep. Not that I wasn't getting more. I can't fucking sleep. And I don't know what it is, but, you know, like, it's just difficult. So if you are going to do an overnight, I would say control the environment. Make it your environment somehow, some way. Now, if you don't want to have it in your house, it's just that you have a place that you've picked up, whatever. But you have to be very careful about this because that's, you know, these are the little landmines that can trap a lot of women. And again, I'm not saying like this is me. I'm sure I could probably have 10 overnights with somebody and it wouldn't faze me, except for the sleeping, because I don't know why I find it hard to sleep next to somebody that I, you know, don't. It's just weird. Like, it takes me a while to really get comfortable and just sleep next to somebody. And that's more like boyfriend, girlfriend stuff. But, you know, I'm just warning, like most women, like, danger. Don't spend the night. Get your shit. I'm always like, let me tell you, when the clothes are coming off, I keep a mental inventory. Like, where did that bra hit the floor? Where did those underwear hit the floor? Where did my pants come off? And as soon as I'm done, I'm like, boop, you are. I'm like, boop. I'm back through the gauntlet, like picking my shit up, putting my clothes on and getting ready to go. So there's another thing that you just have to be aware of. Don't do overnights. Like, be honest with yourself. Be cautious if, like, you can really handle that. The other thing is, like, you know, get your priorities straight and be honest with yourself. Are you like on Match.com looking for a boyfriend, or are you on, you know, a sex site looking for hookups? I mean, and then what's the parameter around those hookups? You know, hooking up and having, I shouldn't say hooking up, but maybe just for the friends with benefits. What is it you're really looking for? You know, because I guarantee you, if you say you're looking for a friends with benefits scenario and you're really looking for a boyfriend, these guys have fucking smell it. They smell blood in the water every time. Trust me. I know. I hear about it. Guys tell me about this all the time. I hear the horror stories, and I don't want you, anybody, any one of my little female followers that likes my blog. Please, guys, don't be one of those statistics that these guys are talking about. And the way you cannot do that is being honest with yourself about what it is that you truly, truly want. Because if you want a boyfriend, you can go to places and do things that will generate a quote unquote boyfriend, right? You'll put yourself in the right environment. But if you're putting yourself in the wrong environment and you're being dishonest with yourself and dishonest with the guys, they fucking know it. Like, trust me, they know it. And they're probably not going to, be kind about it. And I just mean that, you know, that they're going to, if they have their opportunity to take and get something sexual, they probably will, because that's what they're in it for. And I'm, that's not saying anything bad about them. It's just, you know, this is what they're out for. And you aren't matching that level, but you're trying to say that you are. And so, you know, if you get sucked in, you know, you're going to find yourself the next day probably feeling guilty and bad and texting them like a guilty little girl. And that's what they're going to, you know, again, that mode is like a bright orange vest. And they're going to see it and know it. And just don't be, you know, don't be that girl, because you don't have to be that girl if you're honest with yourself about what you want. And just don't put yourself in that position. It's a bad place to be. Okay. So the next little bit of advice I have is about, like, if you've kind of identified, like, hey, yes, this is what I want to do. I want some adventures, some encounters. I can handle it. And, you know, then here's the advice to you ladies. First of all, first and foremost, get yourself some fucking hot, sexy lingerie. And I'm not talking about Victoria's Secret. That is for high school girls and 20-somethings, early 20-somethings. I am talking about La Perla, Agent Provocateur. You know, the invest in some good stuff. Seriously. You don't want, like, for me, I cannot run around in, even just on a regular day, like, I cannot run around in some cheap shit. It affects the way I feel about myself. It changes my mindset. Even in business, I'm like, I wear my good stuff under my clothes because I know I'm on. I'm just like, boom, you know, I feel good from the inside out. And that's true with the lingerie. It will change your mindset. I swear to God, just go and invest in some good stuff. Now, the unfortunate part about that is that the good stuff, I mean, be ready. You're going to spend, like, if you want stockings, garter, bra and panties, you know, it's going to run you, it's going to be about maybe like $1,000, maybe $800 to $1,000. I mean, you're going to spend $145, $150 on a G-string. Now, this is good stuff, though. You wash this, you know, you get your lingerie bag, you treat this very carefully, you handle it delicately. But I'll tell you what, you are never going to feel more fucking hot, powerful, sexy than when you are in that, when you have that on. And nobody even needs to see it or know it. Trust me. Put that on and go to a job interview. The guys are going to, they will pick up on it. There is, I'm going to digress for 1 second, because when I was younger and when my friends and I were learning about sex appeal and experimenting with it, what I learned is if you're thinking about sex, you're kind of exuding sex from the inside out, men pick up on it. It's a fucking truth. Now, I don't know how this is. I'm telling you, you could have your fucking sweatpants on and have your little sexy lingerie on underneath. And if you are thinking about it, it's on your mind, and you're like making eye contact, guys, well, you're like a homing beacon. I have done this. I've literally done this experiment too many times to count. When I was in college, I was the girl that got I was a girl that all my girlfriends came to and were like, we don't have any money, but we want to go out and we need our drink spot for us. I'm like, all right, listen up, watch and learn. And I would get the drinks lined up. Now, that, of course, I graduated from that, right? Just the experiment was the girls would walk behind me and I'd say, okay, I'm going to think about sex and I'm going to walk through this crowd and you watch the guys that turn and look. And boom, 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 it would happen. And so the point here is that you have, it's kind of like turning your light on. I call it like you have to turn your light on, but that lingerie, if that's not natural for you, the sexy stuff you have on underneath is going to help you do that. And then when you're with somebody, you know, it's more than going to help you do that. That's like your, I mean, this is your equipment, you know, you're like bringing your best sexy self to an encounter. It's on. It is on. You're going to feel it. He's going to feel it. And men are very visual. So when they see that, you know, they're going to like it. So do yourself a favor again and go out and get yourself some really great lingerie. And it doesn't have to be all at once. You know, you can go over time. But what I would do is I would start researching the good stuff. Don't you go to the fucking Victoria's Secret. I will be so pissed at you. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, it's just, it's different. It's different. So you can do that, but me personally, I have to have the expensive stuff. Once you have the good stuff, you can never go back. You can never unwind that clock, unring that bell, put that toothpaste back in the tube. Doesn't happen. So maybe if you're not ready to get hooked on the good stuff, then hold off. But my point is that, you know, don't have your granny panties on. Get something good on that matches, that's new, that makes you feel amazing, that you look amazing in, that flatters your body, and, you know, and wear it and work it, girl. So I think that's probably about it. I think maybe the last thing would be just to, you know, again, thinking about like, what are your goals for this? I mean, and, you know, like I said, this is my year of sex. Surprisingly, it's harder than it sounds. I mean, if you make this a priority and you really want to do this, just know that it's a job. It does become kind of like a fucking job. So you have to be prepared to put the work in. If you don't put the work in, don't email me and say, oh, it doesn't work. No. You know, because I'm saying, well, how many guys have you talked to? How many times did you meet with somebody? You know, I mean, it's all a numbers game. And more than that, what makes it even harder is it's a chemistry game. And that's just something that nobody can put their finger on. I wish I could. Believe me, there's guys where I'm like, no, 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 no. And then I end up being totally attracted to them. And then there's guys that I'm, you know, on paper, everything's like, whoa. And it just doesn't jibe. So you have to be open-minded. You can stick with a type that you know that you're good with. But, you know, blur the lines a little bit and go for it. And have fun with it. And if it's, and the last thing I would say is, if it's not fun and you don't enjoy it, don't do it. That's a big thing for me. And that's why, you know, I've had to let some guys go. Because I got to the point where it wasn't fun anymore. And I didn't enjoy it. And, you know, the things had shifted and it got to be more like, I felt like, you know, I'm having a conversation about something I'm disagreeing, you know, with a boyfriend, and not, you know, not a friend with benefits, not somebody that I have very, you know, lighthearted fun with. So you just have to kind of really know yourself, know what you're all about, and know what you want out of this, and stand firm to it. And some will stay and some won't. And, you know, and that's okay. You know, that's okay. It may be disappointing. Trust me, you know, I've been through, there's been two guys I'm like, oh God, that was a tough decision, you know, really tough to have to just cut them off. But it, for whatever reason, you know, some of it becomes too, you know, they want to change the dynamic. One instance was that was one person wanted to change the dynamic, and the other person, you know, in all fairness, I think we probably both wanted to change the dynamic a bit, but I'm committed to this year and having fun encounters and not being monogamous. So I can't give anybody monogamy. And if that's what you're after, you know, as a woman, you should be honest with that if that's what you really, really desire. And there's nothing wrong with it. But if you want to have fun, you have to understand that, like I said in the very beginning of this, you know, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And that means you might be saying no to some guys that, you know, when you're done with this, could be great, but you maybe have alienated them with your, you know, with what was a priority at the time. So there you go. This is probably the longest I've ever talked about this stuff, but this is important. And it's, again, I really feel like women need to, you know, embrace their sexuality, be confident in it, And be unapologetic about it, whatever it is. I don't know what's right for you, but, you know, figure that out and stand firm and make it happen, because you absolutely can. So I hope this was helpful. I hope you got, ladies, get a lot out of it. And thank you so much for, you know, all the emails, encouragement, funny little things you send in. I love it. Totally love it. I said before, like, you know, I like the female, you know, edification more than the male edification, because I just feel like women, you know, aren't out there enough about their, what they, you know, what they want sexually, or, you know, they're somehow, you know, they're not putting it out there, or they're not telling their friends or whatever. And I think that, you know, your girlfriends are your best sounding board, support group. Lean on them, and hopefully, you know, you can tell them what, you know, what's on your mind and what you're thinking about doing. And yeah, I wish you all the best. All right. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, if you have questions or comments, please send them to CuriousGirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com.